Welcome to First Nation Ministries. Today we're bringing you a classic broadcast from our founder, Reverend Don Klein.
I love to tell the story.
This is the voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Now here's the director of First Nation Ministries, Reverend Don Klein.
Hello there, neighbor. Well, praise the Lord. The big rig is back home from South Dakota. All that food, plain and full loaded. Now, I'm old and allow me a little room here, but if I'd said there was 40 tons of food, I meant the truck and its load was 40 tons, and the truck weighs almost half of that, not quite. The truck and the trailer and the equipment and the men that are on it and all. But that would be at least 20 tons of payload on there of food. And there was room by stacking it. We could have put more, but the weight problem caught us. And we couldn't, but they got it back there, and I'll tell you, Rich and Kevin, I'll tell you, I just praising God for these men, father and son team, very experienced, and I didn't know them, but God witnessed to my heart when they just showed up. They brought clothing in with others from their church down on the coast, and they'd been listening a long time and hoped they'd get to drive for me sometime. I'd like to go on a trip, and I needed them right then. Marv Betcher's wife took a turn for the worst, and he was supposed to go on that load, and almost overnight, praise God, those boys said, "We'll take it," and they were here Thursday night, and they shoved off almost dark. I thought, well, wait till morning. No, we want to get going because there's a lull in the weather, and it had been bad. It was 2 below 0 back there where they were going, but it took a break there. And time they got there, in the daytime, it was 50 above, and the sun was shining. They had a wonderful trip, and they got unloaded Thursday night to Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and last night was Monday night. That's 4 24-hour periods. They were back home again. Praise God. They pulled in, and I kept track. We talked these cell phones. It's a wonderful thing. We were able to get each other most all the time, pick up a signal, and talk to that truck, and they didn't have a bit of trouble till they were coming home across old Wyoming, and the wind began to blow, and it got dangerous, and old Rich said, I looked in the mirror, and that trailer was almost rolling. It was, and he said, I swung over and got the wheels off on the offside of, so that leaned into the wind, and we found a place where we could pull off and get stopped, and we hung up and we waited till that storm passed over. And that's the way it is in that country. And he said we went a few miles and we were out of it all. But they were rejoicing. They had a wonderful trip, and what a wonderful team. And we got the food there, and the people appreciate it so much. I'll tell you, that's what I want to talk about now. These Indians, I started to tell you about this race prejudice. Mom and Daddy said we mustn't be race prejudiced, and we didn't think we were. Of course, we didn't want any African Americans living around us. So we were race prejudiced. And I grew up around the loggers, and there's a lot of Swedes and Norwegians and Germans and Irishmen and my mixtures, and they were pretty lenient. If a man could handle his tools or ride his horse, there were some mighty good African-American cowboys and others. But anyway, I remember the bywords. It wasn't only the black man that they hung a name that you can't hardly mention anymore. They want to hang you. But they were niggers, and we couldn't use that word. My mama wouldn't let us. But the gypsies were gypsies, and you had to watch. They stole horses, and when a wagon train came through, and that they're still using wagons. When in the early 20s, when I was a little boy out at 46th and Holman, that wasn't in Portland, but it was designated. Our house number was 4600 and something out there. And we were out of town, and a gypsy caravan come through with their horses and wagons. And the mothers said, "You children, get in here. They steal children." I grew up, you know, gypsies. And then I went to high school in Portland, Oregon, at a place called Roosevelt. And the kids from Linton were Greeks. And a lot of them weren't Greek at all. They were Italian. But in those days, they were the Dagos or the Wops or the Sheenies, the Jews. You know, "I'll Jew you down." Their name became a hiss and a byword. Bunch of Sheenies. Jews. They'll jip you. They were just a little smarter at jipping than some of the white men that jip you do. But that's the way it went. But thanks be unto God, I have among my brothers today people from every one of those races, and we're one in Jesus Christ. Old Brother Pete Ellis here in this city of Portland, I know he's a car dealer, but I've done business with him, and he's been a brother to me and a help, and his sweet little wife, they love the Lord, and their son is an evangelist and a very evangelical up and living denomination that I won't bother to honor or to mention one way or the other, but I admire those people, and what a change in that family. We're brothers, and what a change in the other races that are among my friends, and I have them in all. I think of one, let me mention him. He grew up in a concentration camp in the United States. He was Japanese. He was born there. His folks were truck gardeners. And the government moved him out and took their truck farm and put him over in Central Oregon on a they didn't call it a concentration camp, but that's what it was. And he was born there. And yet, old Alan Sasaki sits in the prayer meeting. He gets down there and cooks the oatmeal for us guys. And when Alan walks in the door to that clubhouse over at Club Estates East, I'm there already and got it unlocked. That's the rules. Have to have one of the residents there. And I'm there, and in comes Alan. He's the cook. Lowell Bradford, not far behind him, he's the helper. They cook the breakfast. The first thing Alan Sasaki says is, "It's a fine morning." It's a fine morning. And some mornings I have to laugh. Freeze you to death, and it's snowing, and we've had some bad mornings this past winter, but that's the way it is. And he loves Jesus, and I've never detected one sign of hatred or bitterness towards the people. Many of those precious Japanese people never did get their land back. This is America, but we've got blood on our hands, and we all need Jesus. And so, let's get beyond the race. All these other races have done better. The Indian people are still longing, many of them, for the buffalo to come back or the salmon. And I understand all that, and that's good. I'm sorry for what we've done to the rivers and to the country as a whole. But we're not going to be able to straighten up the mistakes and the errors and the greeds. And the white men are their own worst enemy. the superior race. They've hurt this nation. And right now, it makes us cringe to see people in high places taking more and more money for their pocket all the time when so many people are hurting so sorely. Greed, sin, selfishness. But, neighbor, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Now, it's taken me a long time, but I'm building toward what I want to get to you. I'm burdened for Indian people, the first Americans, as far as we know. And praise God, God is helping us, and we're making some inroads. And I want to tell you something, neighbor. God has given us the hearts of these people just about everywhere we've gone to minister. And we're praising him for it. We point them to Jesus. We treat them like a brother. We show them that we care. Do you care about others? God help us, Christian friend.
Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. The ministry also has another need, help with our operating expenses, including radio airtime. Radio has proven to be an excellent way to share our message, and yet there is a cost involved, and it can add up rather quickly. And that's why we ask you, our committed listener, to help us with our radio expenses. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much.
I love to tell the story.
Please write for the First Nation Ministries newsletter and help us continue to reach the Indian tribes with the message of Jesus Christ through your prayers and financial gifts. Write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can also call us at 503-408-2391. That's 503-408-2391. Or visit our website, firstnationministries.org.